Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.
You're welcome back. Lawrence Donegan is on the line. Evening, Lawrence.
How you doing there, Joe?
Very good. Brooks Koepka, 16 under, 4 clear of Matsuyama and Brian Harman. We've been hearing about Brooks Koepka for some time now. He said himself in his press conference last night, "I've underachieved not to have won more." He probably will win a lot more if he keeps on like this.
Well, he'll win a lot more if he keeps on playing golf courses like that, that's for sure. It was a pretty boring kind of final round, in some summation. But it was really interesting, you know, the contrast between Koepka and Tommy Fleetwood and Brian Harman, the two guys who were chasing him. You know, just he played a different type of golf from those two guys, and Erin Hills was the place to play the kind of golf that Brooks Koepka plays.
In short, he can hit the ball a mile.
He can hit the ball. I mean, he was hitting it 30, 40 yards past his playing partner all day. It was, it's a perfect landscape for a player like him. He's the archetypal modern player, but hits it as far as he possibly can, chases after it, hits it again. I mean, not to demean him, he's a great player. He's always been kind of cited as being a great player in the making, but he has only won twice on the PGA Tour, so... Let's not rush to crown him as the greatest player in the world.
And I know you're an old romantic, and the US Open is meant to be a very difficult thing. And Lee Trevino talks about how you should walk up in single file on a US Open fairway. This was the polar opposite of that. It was very wide. Did that irk you? You weren't best pleased with that?
No, not at all. I mean, this is very interesting in the States today. There's been great discussion amongst those who are interested in these things. You know, is the USGA having an identity crisis? Mm. You know, because this was, when Rory won a congressional in 2011, that was set up like a traditional US Open venue, but it was just so wet. Yeah. So it played kind of wide, and the ball didn't run into the rough. But this was played how the USGA wanted it to be played. It didn't hurt me at all. I mean, I was at Wingfoot in 2006. I mean, it wasn't quite the Wingfoot, the massacre at Wingfoot in 1975. But 2006, I think Jeff Ogilvie won five over par. I mean, that was absolutely no fun. I preferred this yesterday. I just wish there'd been, in inverted commas, a better leaderboard, bigger names. I mean, to me, again, I'm to reduce it to its basis level. No Rory, no fun for me these days.
I'm surprised, Lawrence, by your thoughts there, to be honest, because I mean, you're such a historian of the game that I would have thought you really would have loved years like 2006 at Wingfoot. That there was a great article in ESPN yesterday by Jason Sobel saying, "I want my US Open back." This tournament in Erin Hills had been repackaged as the PGA Championship, we'd all be delighted with it.
Well, yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, you make a fair case, but again, do you want to see what Wingfoot? I mean, next year they're going to Shinnecock. I can rest assure you, you'll get your old US Open back next year. It will be brutal next
year. It's just once a year, though. I mean, I remember Shinnecock. It was Pavin that won at Shinnecock, wasn't it? And it was absolutely awful for the players at the time. But it's just one week a year.
I guess I have to kind of bow to what you're saying, but for me, Erin Hills wasn't entirely to my liking. It was a bit too easy for me. Each major championship has its own individual identity, I suppose, and the US Open, as you say, it did look a bit like the US PGA Championship. But that's not necessarily enough. The US PGA Championship, the PGA Championship has been a really good tournament in recent years with brilliant leaderboards, lots of excitement. It's probably been the best major I've been taking over the last 5 years. It's had some great winners. You are right, though. I mean, it kind of did, as I think somebody said on TV, it's kind of broken out as a greater Milwaukee Open. but don't worry about it. Next year, you're going to have all the masochism you want.
But you know, it's very interesting that you talk about the identity crisis. And look, part of that is because of the mess they've made in recent years of the tournament. But, Brandel Chamblee, who I know you quite like on the TV, he made a very interesting point that as the game tries to grapple with the distances the likes of Brooks Koepka hit the ball, there is an argument that if they're going from hitting a 270, 280 out to, 340 now when the weather's behaving itself, you actually can't have fairways. For it to be a genuine test and to be fair, you can't have fairways that are as narrow as they were 15, 20 years ago, because without getting overly technical, if you're a degree or two off, which your golf club when you're hitting the ball 100 yards, it might go 4, 6, 7, 8 yards to the right. When that's over 300 yards or 340 yards, you actually have to be fair and allow the players to actually show off their skills. And if those skills are hitting the ball a million miles, then the US Open will have an identity crisis.
Well, again, it goes, well, two things. It's an interesting argument. I'm not sure it's for prime time radio, but two things.
Lawrence, let's get as nerdy as we like here, Lawrence.
Well, the first thing, I mean, let's boil it down, is the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you've got to debate the ball. I mean, Brooks Koepka stood up yesterday and had a three with 379 yards. Which is frankly ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's the first thing. You've got to do something about the ball. If you don't do anything about the ball, then you're going to have golf courses like Erin Hills, 8,000 yards. I mean, I think the 18th hole measured 673 yards yesterday or something stupid like that.
Yeah.
So you do something about the ball, or you're going to have 8,000 yard golf courses. But the second thing is, you have to have, regardless of, you can't set up golf courses like they set up Erin Hills yesterday and take out 9/10 of the field. You know, the winners were boiled down to a group of guys who can all carry the ball 330 off the tee. That's where your winner was coming from. I mean, Brian Harman did great. Tommy Fleetwood did great. Actually, Tommy Fleetwood was pretty long. But those, you know, you had a list of winners of, between 10 and 12 guys, and that was it. What you have to do is set up these golf courses. You have to set them up in a way where the guy standing on the tee just can't just pull out his driver. I mean, some of these guys are stepping up to the tee and not even thinking about it. You see on the PGA Tour every single day of the week, every week of the year, they step on the tee, the caddy hands on the driver, and off they go, and that's it.
Yeah.
Now, there is a case to be made. Hang on a minute. You've got to make these guys think. You've got to make them play different types of shots. What was really interesting to me quite a lot of the time over the last 4 days was how many guys were hitting irons off the tee and didn't find a fairway. I thought, you know, because they're not used to doing it. You know, it puts a little bit of doubt because all they're used to doing is standing up, hitting a drive at 110% as far as they possibly can. When they're asked to step up to the tee and hit a 2-iron or a 3-iron or something smaller off the tee, they're missing 60-yard fairways. But it's a really interesting debate, but it all goes back to the ball. It's all about the ball because, Shinnecock, what they did it with Marion when Justin Rose won in 2013, they tricked up Marion to just ludicrous extent, and they're going to have to do it again next year at Shinnecock Hills. The rough, the fairways are going to be narrower than a wasp's waist. The rough is going to be thick and shin high, and the greens are going to be absolutely crazy.
A point we might talk about you again in some depth with over the season, but just a word for now on McIlroy. I appreciate he's coming back from injury. I appreciate, he actually didn't do too badly on the Friday and you know, he's got more chances to come. But just in the broader context, it is now getting to a point where he's just throwing away too many years. Like 30 is approaching. For the last 2, 3, 4 years, it feels like there's always something.
There's always something, isn't there?
Yeah.
First things first in macro, bragging about how much money you've got on Twitter. I thought that was Donald Trump's job.
Yeah. That was a silly thing to do, wasn't it?
It was crass.
For people who didn't see it, Steve Elkington had a pop at him and said, you know, 4 majors, 100 million, that's the standard post-Tiger. And Rory writes back 200 million and, you know, a few more pops at Elkington. But like, look, Elkington's an idiot and comes off as an idiot in a lot of instances. But when Rory did that, you just think, oof, that's classless.
But to your general point, yeah, it'll soon be 3 years since he won a major. I mean, it's amazing to me that it's almost been 10 years since Tiger won his last major. Where did the years go? I mean, this is what happens. It slips past so quickly. 3 years. But the thing is, you know, when Rory's fit and ready, I mean, he goes out and he wins the FedEx Cup. You know, he goes and wins the Tour Championship. So he's still the man to me. You know, when everybody's playing at their absolute best, he's still the man. He's still the guy, I think. He beats them all. But you know what? Time is ebbing on. I couldn't believe it. And his little spat with Elkington, he was 28 years old. God, I remember him being at Carnoustie when he was, 10 years ago.
Yeah.
God, this little kid. I don't think we should be writing him off right now.
No, we won't do that. But another 2 year, 3 years slip by with, you know, silliness, equipment, falling, playing football, whatever it is. And then you're thinking, God, he's one of the great unfulfilled talents, even though he'll have 4, 5, 6, 7 majors.
Yeah, I, again, that's not a bad career.
Sure.
Mickelson's been playing at the top for 25 years, and he's got five majors. I mean, I don't think anybody thinks that Rory's going to finish with four majors. Yeah, but you are right. Time is slipping by, and it's always something, isn't it, with him? But again, you just kind of hope that the talent kind of comes through, and he is still the guy. I mean, he's just got more charisma than all of these guys. You know, Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth are all great players. But, I mean, Rory, I mean, I think that's who was. I think it was Keith Pelley, the head of the European Tour. When he was talking, he's saying he's talking to sponsors, and the first question when he sits on a table with sponsors, their first question is Rory playing?
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's still got that, but you know what? He's going to have to start. It's time for him to win another major championship. Actually, Birkdale always picks a good major winner, so he might have a chance.
Yeah, and then Quail Hollow is basically his backyard. So I mean, he'll probably look. Well, he'll win four of the next five, and I'll be an idiot. So that's kind of.
Well, that's right, Joe. Well, we knew that anyway, didn't we?
Thanks a million. Cheers.
All the best, Joe. Take care.
All right, Lauren Stanningham there with his thoughts on the U.S. Open. Brooks Koepka, major winner at Erin Hills. Few texts in the golf. Me and Dave will chat about that in a sec.
Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.